Good morning and welcome to St. Andrew's. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am so glad to be with you. It is such a privilege to be together, and I've been off for the last couple of weeks, and somebody this morning in the first service said, man, we missed you, and I really wanted to say I missed you too. Just kidding, I did, but I was really glad to be off for a little bit as well, and so I'm glad to be back and to start this brand new series called Consider, which I'll tell you more about in a moment. First, I want us to read together the text for today, and it's Psalm 8, and so I'm going to ask if you are able to stand to your feet, and let's read this Psalm of David. David writes, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you've set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels, and crown them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds and the sky and the fish and the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You may be seated. This is God's word. So recently, I had an experience, and maybe you've had something like this before. I was playing golf with some friends. They're great people, just fantastic guys, so much fun. They don't take themselves too seriously on the golf course. They're not that good, but they're a lot better than me, which is super helpful. And we're playing on this beautiful course, and it's like hole 11, and I am once again finding myself super focused on this little white ball in some very tall grass. And I'm just frustrated. Like, the day has had moments where I've felt kind of pride and kind of good. Those were fleeting moments, but they were there. But most of it was just like, frustration and embarrassment. And everything in me was just focused on this one little spot. And one of the guys that I was playing with says, man, look at that. And I thought, you're such a jerk. I know I'm in the grass again. Yeah, he said, no, not your ball. Look at that. And I look up, and you can see the Pacific Ocean from there. There's birds flying past. There's beautiful flowers and manicured green. I mean, it's just breathtakingly gorgeous. And all I could think about at the moment was, I'm laying five. And it got my attention that how often we can go through life and stay focused on the smallest thing that seems so big, surrounded by the beauty and the glory of God. And maybe you're not a golfer, you don't have to be to understand what that feels like. You've had something like that happen where you've experienced how one thing can grasp all your attention. Maybe it's the thing that someone said about you that you just can't let go of. Maybe it's the situation at work. It's the bill that you don't know how you're going to pay. For many of you, you're about to take off and head back to college. Maybe you're thinking about how last semester went. Maybe you're a little nervous about how this semester might go or the new school you may end up at. It could be that you're headed back to middle school or high school this coming week. Can you believe this starts tomorrow? How fast did summer go? And you might be thinking about that. You may be thinking about the relationship you have that's really difficult, and it's got all your attention, and you realize whenever we focus our attention on something, it gets really big. And sometimes God feels small in comparison. Sometimes we allow the problem in our life or the issue in our life to dominate our field of view. This series that we're going to start today for the next few weeks is called Consider, and it's based on one word that is used all throughout Scripture that I feel like is an invitation for us in this kind of reset You know, we're at that place where even though the weather doesn't feel like it, we're resetting. There's new rhythms coming with school and work and all of the things that are swirling in your mind. And what I'd love for us to do for the next few weeks is have some tools to build the rhythms into your life that you actually want to give the life that you were promised by Jesus. Because here's my guess. For a lot of us, we've been doing a lot of the same things the same way. And if you really did a deep dive and audit and you said, I would like more. More out of my family, more out of my career, more out of my relationship with God. And you won't get new things doing the old ways. So we're going to start today with this idea of consider. The word consider throughout Scripture is a call for us. It's a biblical command to fix sustained attention on something until you understand it. Not just to look at, not just to think about, but to focus your attention until you begin to really see it. And I think one of the problems in our modern life is that we spend a lot of time looking, but not a lot of time seeing. We're constantly looking, but we're not really grasping. Some of it is because we've been trained this way. These little 4-inch screens in our hand a whole lot of the time can drive our attention, and they also can block out a lot of other stimulus, a lot of other truth that's right there for us. And the truth is, we kind of shrink to the size of what we stare at. Like if you stare at this and its feed, you're trained by culture to feel really small. Have you ever noticed how little, unimportant you can feel when you scroll Instagram for half an hour? It's like you see all of the other stuff, other people's life, other people's work, other people's vacation. You see what their kids have done already at this point, and yours haven't. You're starting to wonder if there's something wrong with you or your children. You see where they've achieved in their career at this point, and you can't understand. Maybe I'm supposed to do that. Maybe there's something wrong with me. We shrink in front of what we stare at. And the psalm that we just read gives us a whole other invitation to be able to shrink appropriately, to become the right kind of small in front of the God who made all of creation. David, who wrote this psalm, teaches us what it looks like to focus our attention on the right things. And so he starts off with this really amazing couple of lines. He says in verse 3, when I consider your heavens, when I give focused, sustained attention at the sky, everything that you have made. When's the last time that you really kind of soaked up the sky? Not just to get a quick picture of a sunset to post, but really sat out under stars and just contemplated the heavens that God has made. Any of you wake up early in the morning of the last week to see the Perseid meteor shower? Anybody? I didn't either. But I heard it was fantastic. Pictures look great. Those moments where we can capture with almost our whole being just the immensity, the majesty, as it says, of who God is, happen only if we look long enough to actually see. In 1995, Robert Williams, who was the director of the Hubble Space Telescope, then the most expensive and the best technology for viewing into the universe that we have, he made this decision. The Hubble had been focusing on different planets, stars, trying to find galaxies. It was a really expensive machine, and he made a decision that all of his compatriots and that his co-workers hated. He decided that he was going to focus the Hubble on one tiny part of the sky that was empty. There's a spot in the Big Dipper that people had looked at for a long time, and there was nothing there. So Williams talks everybody in, and they said, this is a waste of money, it's a waste of time, why would you do that? And he focuses the telescope there, and for 3 days, nothing appears, and for 5 days, nothing appears, and on 7 days, there's still nothing, and he's feeling really stupid, and everybody else is feeling really justified. And then on the 10th day, this image came into view. Now, you look at that, and you go, okay, cool, stars. But what is fascinating is those aren't stars.
This is the Hubble Deep Field image. Those are galaxies. Do you realize that we live in a galaxy that contains somewhere between 100 and 400 billion stars? And in that small piece of the sky that seemed empty, there were over 3,000 galaxies that were seen. And they were always there, but nobody had really stopped long enough to look at it. Think about the stars and things that we're surrounded now. I mean, look at that sky. When you consider a God who made all of that, it should make us feel the right kind of small. The God who created an existence in the universe that's constantly expanding, we can see with the naked eye about 2,000 to 3,000 stars at any point. And if you happen to have some binoculars, you can look up into the sky and see about 217,000 stars. And if you get a 4-inch telescope, you can see, oh, somewhere around 3 million stars. But with all of our attempts, we are unmoved often by the fact that there are trillions of galaxies with hundreds of billions of stars, and God, it's said, made it with his fingers, like some of you knitting. It wasn't difficult work for this God to spin out into a constantly expanding universe trillions of galaxies. And we stay focused on this. I mean, and this is not a sermon against phones. They're great. Half the pictures that I just showed you, I got from the phone. So it's a really helpful thing. My point is, we do not allow ourselves to be in awe and wonder of who God really is. We shrink him to the size of how well did he fix and how fast did he move to our prayer or our problem. And David is overwhelmed as he looks at the night sky and says, "When I consider the heavens, your glory, it overwhelms me." Then he goes on, and a question just kind of falls out of him. Like, the longer he looks at that sky, the more he can't help but ask this question in verse 4. What is mankind? In light of that, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them? I mean, and we should probably ask the same thing. God, if you can do that, what difference in the world does my life make? Why should you even notice me? Any of you ever felt really unnoticed by God? Have you ever felt as if maybe he's aware, but it doesn't seem like he cares about me? Not where I am right now, not in this moment. And we can look at the history or the story of our life, and we can easily come up with some case to say that God doesn't care. David gets to the understanding of the mindfulness of God by contemplating the bigness of God first. And here's what mindful means. When it says that he was mindful, it doesn't just mean that God knows you're there. The word mindful sometimes gets translated as remembered. And this is all over the scripture. God remembers. And when God remembers, it's not as if he forgot. It means that he has focused his attention and is about to act. We see that God remembered Noah and the floodwaters receded. God, we're told, remembered Abraham and Lot was saved. God remembered Hannah and her barren womb became fruitful and had children. God remembered the people of Israel and he made a way and rescue out of Egypt. When God puts you in his mind, nothing can stop what he does next. But how many of us are actually mindful of him? How many of us look like that astronomer into the space and go, "Yeah, but this part, this space, it's nothing in it for me. It's empty." The God who made everything that we see and all the things that we can't thinks about you. Have you ever considered that, really? Like, he's thinking about you. Like, right with what you brought in today. You're worried about something that's upcoming in your life, or you're feeling minimized by someone, and God is thinking about you. Sean, I got this. Liz, we're going to be okay. I'm about to act. This is the power of considering. Then we think about what would it mean to be mindful of, and my mind goes straight to middle school. And I think about, you ever had that moment in middle school where you're on the playground or you're on the in the gym or you're in the cafeteria and you realize that that girl, that one, she's been talking about you when you weren't there. Have you ever had that moment where your friends are like, hey, I heard Janet, she was talking about you. What? She was thinking about me? She actually knows I'm existing? She can get past all the smell of my Axe body spray? She's mindful of me. Or we get older and it's the same thing. You go into your job performance review and the boss is like, you know, I was talking to the senior VP about your performance the other day. And you're like, what? He thinks of me? She thinks of me? Man, we make so much of that. And the God that spun trillions of galaxies into existence is thinking of you too. And we're like, Perspective. Whenever David looked at this expanse of stars, it gave him humility. It made him the right kind of small. What is man that you're mindful of us? Why would you even care about us? And then look what comes next. He realizes that God doesn't just care about him. He realizes there's a dignity that God has given. In verse 5, it says, you've made them a little lower than the angels. How many of you have an image of what an angel is? Not like the cute little chubby ones playing harps, but like angel in the scripture. These powerful beings that show up doing God's work. Usually when an angel shows up, other people get scared and fall down like they're dead. Have you ever considered that you're almost angel status? That God made us in a way that is so full, brimming with potential and dignity and value, that he would say, I created you just a little lower than the angels. Crowned with glory and honor. And then it says he made us rulers over the works of his hands. Like God took his massive creation project and he gave it to us and said, I think you'll do. I think you'd be a good steward of everything that I've made. Have you ever considered that's your calling, your vocation? Part of it is as a human made in the image of God, it is to steward all of the creation. David listed animals and seas and all of the things made. You and I are meant to use that to continue to expand his glory for our good. There's a ton of honor that God conveys to us. And I think that's the other side. Like sometimes we allow ourselves to be too small, right? Insignificant. When you allow yourself to shrink too little, you kind of feel very unimportant, and sometimes you can become inconsolable. But when you make yourself too big, you become insufferable. And some of you know what that's like. It's your cousin. You know, the person who's like done some amazing things, right? Some people in this room, for sure in our area, you've built incredible companies. You have patented and started brand new things that made a difference in people's lives. Some of you use your image of God dignity to medically heal people. On the daily, you are helping people be rescued from disease. Like, that is huge. And yet, when we get too big, we can't let anyone ever hear the end of it. David reminds us that we should always be in this tension between what are we to a God who could make all this, and yet he's called me to exercise dominion over all of his stuff. There is a noble calling to being human. The problem is, and you know this, is that the crown doesn't fit so well that he gave us. It's a little crooked. We tend to look around, and you could do it today. You could just go, so if we as humans are supposed to be ruling all over all this good stuff, something's not gone right. Because I don't know about you, but does it feel like we're doing a real good job with everything under our feet, properly in its place for the glory of God? I mean, my life is chaos. Is yours? Maybe you just maybe you haven't really thought about it. Maybe you haven't considered that the calling God has invited us into is not the one that we live up to. Can you imagine if all of us in this room, if each of us lived into the humility of recognizing our place before God and the nobility of acting as a steward over what he's given to you and me? Can you imagine what a difference that would make? We shrink to the size of what we stare at. So God's invitation through David and through Psalm 8 is for us to begin to experience the humility and the honor that God intended for humans. Yet we find that it's broken, it's not working. So is David just kind of poetically aspirational? Is he saying this, that it's all under our feet and that's what humans were meant to be, but you know, that's just a project that got thrown on the table earlier, that it's not gonna happen? Is there any answer? Is there any way out of the situation we find ourselves in? And this is what is so cool. The New Testament shows us that David, looking at that night sky thousands of years ago, saw through it to something that he didn't even realize, but the Holy Spirit inspired him to catch a vision of. And that someone was Jesus. Here's what Hebrews 2 says. This is kind of a little part two to what Brandon preached last week, which, by the way, didn't Brandon do a great job last week? So powerful. Such a great message. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says. After he quotes Psalm 8, he says, "In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them." In other words, we keep screwing up. But we do see Jesus. Those are some of the best words in Scripture. But we do see Jesus. When you and I can't see how this is going to work out, when we can't understand what is happening with our children, when we are unable to see how this setback is ever going to result in something good, when we question why God could allow us to go through that thing that we would have done anything to prevent, when we find ourselves with a problem, the Scripture doesn't tell us to look at something. It says, look at someone. But we do see Jesus. And look how he's described. Made a little lower than the angels. Sound familiar? Now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. The glory and the honor was found in him submitting. Think about that. That God who made those galaxies I showed you pictures of, squeezed down into one human body, living life just the way we were supposed to do it, and then being killed for it. What kind of glory is that? It's the kind of glory that upholds the universe, as Brandon read during our worship time together. The kind that sustains everything, that holds in tension all of those planets. Did you know there is a black hole at the center of our galaxy that's bigger than 4 million suns? And it has such a gravitational pull that light can't escape it, but it's ordered just at the right distance so that the stars and planets moving around it don't fall into it and don't fly away from it. That's the God that holds your life together too. Can I show you one more thing? This is not in his bigness. If you don't like it, it's fine. Let me show you this. There's a picture. It's a cross-section of a single blade of grass right after it's received water. What do you see in that? It's like the God who spun all the galaxies out there also made a blade of grass to smile when it gets water. What is man that you're mindful of us? And you and I take our little problem that feels really big to us and we hold it up and we say, yeah, he's not there. And we allow this God, this Jesus, who came to give his life for you and for me, not just so that he could show us how to do life right, but so that he could empower us and that he could rescue us and save us. And we minimize him and maximize our problem. Do you feel that? Well, why don't we stop today? What would happen if maybe we began to consider God because he's considering you? To really believe that. To order our steps, this is what we're going to talk about the next few weeks, to order our ways, our priorities, our family rhythms, our stewardship of the creation he's given us. What if we ordered it in light of the fact that that God is considering you and me? Do you think it'd make a difference in your life? Do you think he might want to show up in a way that says, I've always been here, just like that empty spot in the sky. My light has always been here. You just finally started looking. That's the invitation that we have. Because these heavens, they can tell you how small you are. The cross tells you how loved you are. And we need both to know who we are. So before you head back to work for just another week, or before you take off to Boston and get faced with all the stuff that's going to happen at school, but before you question whether you're enough anymore, whether you walked into this place today wondering, not just is there a God, but if there is, why would he care about me? You're in good company with David. Before you do all of that, would you this week join me in a little exercise? A little time with God, a sky appointment with God. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. Just some night this week, most of you stay up late enough that it's dark when you go to bed still. First service is a little different. But outside, I didn't plan that one. I don't know where that came from. Outside, no phone. And would you just spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes just looking at the stars? And not just to try to find some hidden message. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just allow yourself to be overwhelmed with the immensity and the majesty of God in the sky. And then think about these things. One, Lord, you're so big. Two, my fear is so small. My worry and concern is so tiny. My inability to see what you're doing in my life right now is so minuscule compared to you. And you're mindful of me. And just allow, start here, allow your priorities to be reset by your perspective first. What do you think God might say? If you can take a little shepherd king like David in the middle of a hill outside of Nowheresville in Israel 3,000 years ago, what might he say to you? You can have an appointment with the God of the universe. Perspective before priority. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you use your inspired and written word. You use stars and galaxies and planets. You use funny shaped cells in grass to remind us not only of how big you are, but of how intentional you are. And today, Lord, I ask that as we start this little journey over the next few weeks to kind of align the rhythms of our life so that we can experience more of you, I ask that you would overwhelm us. Overwhelm us in wonder. Help us to shrink to the right size of small before you. The humility to believe we're not the whole package. But God, would you let also a confidence rise in us as we consider in light of that, you've called us to something specific. You've wired us with gifts. You've allowed us to go through experiences. Some of them we didn't like. Some of them we wouldn't ever repeat. And yet you were there all the time. Lord, I pray that you would start to cultivate a hunger in us, even as we gaze at the night sky for more of you. Lord, I pray for every person heading into a new season in the next week, in the upcoming weeks. God, as they go off to new places or old places again. God, as students head into middle school and others transition to high school, as some of us face retirement and others face an empty room. God, whatever this next season is, I pray that you'd let us be overwhelmed with a proper perspective of just how majestic and beautiful you are and how much you love us. Jesus, thank you that you show us how loved we are. That bloody cross, the shame, the ridicule, the mockery that was hurled at you, the perfect, sinless one, that you took all that for us so that we could stand in the dignity that you created us for. Would you help us this week to be overwhelmed with that love again? I pray this in your resurrected name. Amen.